All right, God bless. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We've read this many times. Many of you could quote it from memory, but we won't make you do that tonight. We'll read along here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us what?
Accepted
in the beloved. This is quite a statement, and that's what I really wanted to get focused on tonight, just here for a few minutes. Accepted in the beloved. There was a wonderful theologian a number of years ago. His name was Charles Spurgeon, and he said something about these particular words. He says, are there grander words in any language than these four? Accepted in the beloved. There seems to be a sacred poem in these words. To my heart, there is more heavenly music in those four words than in any oratorio I have ever heard. Oh, the joy of knowing we are forever accepted by the Most High God. Wondrous declaration, blessed state. The moment we repent and believe in Christ, God makes us completely, fully accepted in the beloved, his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. And yet, we struggle with this particular truth, and these are not my words, but I thought they spoke very loudly. I'd like to share them with you here a little bit. This was actually written by a gentleman who had a great life, great ministry in Europe, in the Netherlands. But he said this, over the years, I have come to realize that the greatest trap in our life is not success, not popularity or power, but self-rejection. Self-success, popularity, and power can indeed present a great temptation, but their seductive quality often comes from the way they are part of the much larger temptation to self-rejection. When we have come to believe in the voices that call us worthless and unlovable, then success, popularity, and power are easily perceived as attractive solutions. The real trap, however, is self-rejection. As soon as someone accuses me or criticizes me, as soon as I am rejected, left alone, or abandoned, I find myself thinking, well, that proves once again that I am a nobody. And then my dark side says, I am no good. I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, abandoned. You see, self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. And I just thought, boy, how well spoken that is. How many Christian people still feel this sense of worthlessness and unworthiness when God is all the time saying, and let's look again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, whether we feel like this is true or not is not really the issue. It is what God says, Ephesians 1, 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us what?
Accepted.
He hath made us accepted. He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in that work of Jesus Christ, by our own works, by our own worthiness, our own great personalities or lack of personality has nothing to do with it. God has made us completely, fully accepted in the beloved, his beloved Son, he said, in whom he is well pleased. And because we are in him, God is also well pleased with whom? Us. Us. That's our true identity. That's who we really are. I mean, how many times have we heard this over and over and over and over again? I mean, a great man who lived and was our father in the world said, what power the church had if they only knew it. Well, guess what, guys? We know it. We know it. And we do have great power, like Allison shared so wonderfully last night. That Holy Spirit power in prayer. We've got it. We've got it. The Webster Dictionary says that to accept means to receive willingly, to regard with approval, to value, to esteem, to take pleasure in or receive with favor. And so this verse in Ephesians 1:6, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood, Paul is saying in essence that the Father has accepted us what? Willingly, with approval, with value, with esteem, with delight. And it's certain not because we have in any way merited his approval, but because his beloved paid the price in full for our approval. It has nothing to do with our works, what we do and don't do. But Jesus paid the perfect price. And you know what? This great truth became our present reality the moment we were justified or declared righteous as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. How much better could that be said? We were accepted. We were accepted. Well, do you think the devil might want to talk people out of the reality of them being accepted in the blood and get them to focus on their flesh and this and that and get them to confess all these things about themselves, which are just a direct contradiction to the truth of the word? You know, at the moment of the new birth, we were transferred from our former position in Adam to our new eternal position in Christ, who is the beloved, in whom we are unconditionally accepted by the Father. Well, glory, hallelujah. If I was shouting Pentecostal, which I am, I'll say glory, hallelujah, Joe. How about that?
Hallelujah.
All right, I want to hear it. amen. Well, I was reminded, and I won't read the whole thing, but, you know, there's a great song by Casting Crowns called Who Am I? Maybe you remember it. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Mm-hmm. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You've told me who I am. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Guys, we are accepted in the beloved because that is what the truth of the Word of God truly says about it. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. You know, if there was a confession to make, it's that I am accepted in the beloved. I am everything God could have dreamed about when he called me. We may not feel like that when we get up in the morning, but you know what? Tomorrow morning you're going to get up and the first thing you're going to say is, I am accepted in the beloved and I am going to have a great day because I am what the Word of God says I am. Amen? Like Charles Spurgeon said, are there grander words in any language than these four? Mm-hmm. There seems to be a sacred poem in these words. To my heart, there is more heavenly music in these four words than in any oratorio I have ever heard. And Joe was really good. I compliment you on that song, Joe. But these words are the basis upon our lives. Our lives. We're accepted in the blood. We have to have this truth to really walk forward with boldness and confidence, realizing we're accepted by God. He no longer looks at us like we look at us. He looks at us through the eyes of love and grace. We're accepted. We're accepted in the blood. Heavenly Father, we're so very, very thankful for the simple truth of your word, Father. Maybe we'll just remember those four words. Accepted in the beloved, accepted in the beloved, accepted in the beloved. And that is truly who we are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.